I had told Brother Paul, Brother Boone will be back, and he said, well, you go ahead and preach, and he's going to be tired when he gets here anyway. I said, Paul, I'm going to have a two-hour message tonight. Paul never batted an eye. He said, go ahead. Join us in the refreshments when you get done. So I do plan to stay for a few minutes. I think the biggest honor, and I do understand as a pastor and evangelist, that some of you it's difficult to drive at night, so volunteer to bring your elderly church members to church tonight. There's nothing greater you can do than to be here tonight and show the pastor how much you appreciate him. I know you do, and I know you tell him. James Dobson started this back in the 80s, Pastor Appreciation Month, and churches were encouraged to pick out a Sunday and to show their pastor. They used to do it for us in Rocky Mount, big meals, and checks, and gifts, and all of that, and we just enjoyed the day completely, and so I know it will encourage him. He told me yesterday morning when I spoke to him, he was giving me leave that he should be back about 4. Now, knowing Daniel and Sherry riding with him, he'd probably be back about 7, because she'll say, slow down, look out for that car, move over. She's like my wife, but anyway, he's a good man. Don't do this. Back, I think it was 92, I was getting ready to go to South America into the Amazon with a pastor, and they did Pastor Appreciation Month in October. We had no idea what they'd planned. And they got up on the last Sunday of September and said, now here's what we're doing for you and Miss Nancy. We're going to take you out to dinner. Well, preachers like to go out to dinner. They took us out for 31 nights straight. Hot dogs, steak, good restaurants, dumps, you name it. When I got done, I said, folks, I appreciate that, but I gained 40 pounds in a month. I mean, got to eat some more, preacher, got to eat some more. And nobody took us to their house. They took us to restaurants, and it was something, and we appreciated what they did. So your meeting tonight, I got a message that I've never preached here. I believe that you will enjoy it. Keep it very brief, and so that we can have some time to spend with the pastor and his wife. They're going to be as tired as some of you that look that way this morning. How many of you have never heard me preach? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many of you have heard me preach? Wow. How many of you'd rather not hear me this morning? Gee, you're kind. I've got some new people here. Now, you just got to take me the way I am. I love the Lord. 56 years ago in May, I hung all my hopes upon the Lamb of God. And they're still hanging there. God saved me. And somebody give me an amen in the house. And saved me. And then God called me to preach. And I've been in the ministry looking at 42, almost 43 years. I pastored for decades. I do evangelistic work now. Fill in for people like Daniel and other pastors when they need to be out of town. And I'm old-fashioned. I'm loud. Well, a little bit loud. I'm not too bad. Amen. You know, if Stanley was here, I'd have you people really rocking and rolling. It's the first time, and I've been coming here since Pastor Boone took the church. It's the first time that I've been here that I haven't seen Stanley. So if you see him for what I do, tell him it was a nice, quiet service. We appreciate it very much. But if you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to get you to 2 Samuel. It's quarter till 11. No, it's quarter till, wait a minute. It's quarter till 12. And so don't worry about your watch. I hope you know, we make plans. I know some churches in Roanoke, if you're not done at 12, they get up and leave. And I think that's rude. I really do. I'm talking about Bible-believing churches. We've got our God so cornered down that 15 or 20-minute message on Sunday morning, and that's it, and we don't have anything else to do with God until next Sunday. Well, I try to be conscious of the older folks who have arthritis and bursitis and backaches and footaches. I got some of it, but at the same time, I don't want to rush through this. So 2 Samuel is where we're going to begin. There's scripture I will give you today that we won't have time to turn to, but if you can and you're able, would you mind standing as we read the opening scripture, 2 Samuel 24. We're going to read verses 15, 16, and 17, and verses 24 and 25. Verses 15, 16, and 17, So the Lord sent a pestilence among Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. Notice it said, the Lord sent a pestilence. And there died of the people from Dan unto Beersheba 70,000 men. Let's think about it. 70,000 in a day died of this pestilence that God sent. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough, stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Arunai the Jezebite. And David spoke unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, lo, I have sinned, I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. You know, in verse 24, and the king said unto Abelu, nay, I will surely buy it of thee at a price, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God, that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Lord, we live in a time where we take you very lightly and for granted. I pray these good people will hear about the sacrifice that you expect, and then, Lord, that we will do those sacrifices to you. Have your way today. Save that one, Lord, that does not know you, and may they trust you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. If you look over in 1 Chronicles, and you can write it down, chapter 21, David had sinned against God. God told him specifically, do not number the people. And David did it anyway. So David sinned. But David had what you and I have. 1 John 1:9, if you know it, quote it with me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I made one of the finest peanut butter and jelly. How many of y'all like peanut butter and jelly? Okay, Mikey, I made it for you. Just for you. I mean, fresh butter bread, thick peanut butter, and thick jelly. But when I was making this sandwich for Brother Gore this morning, I decided not to wash my hands. I'd had to clean the mud off my shoes and had to slop the hogs, and you know what it's like to get in the pig pen. And my hands is really dirty. I mean, think of the dirtiest hands. That's one of the things I remember my blessed mother used to say. My mom raised six boys, as you know, six sons by herself. And mama was always saying, wash your hands. Have any of you parents ever said that to your kids? And they came in and they looked like they had washed them in a mud puddle. Am I right? And so I didn't wash my hands. My hands is really dirty, just dripping with filth. But I love Mike Gore so much that I made him this peanut butter and jelly sandwich, fresh bread, fresh peanut butter. Do you like strawberry jam? Okay, fresh strawberry jam. I got him so far. I mean, I made. And if I offer that to Mike with my dirty hands, will you take it? He is dumber than a rock. Yeah, I'll take it. But most people a little more normal than Mike Gore. Somebody give me an amen on that. Okay. Boy, they really there. Most likely, if my hands, and I started to bring the necessary, because I've done it before, I started to bring it to make a window in the house, put a picture in the sermon you could understand. But you understand, Peter, if my hands was as dirty as I said, I would pretty well guarantee you that Brother Gore would not take that. But if my hands was clean and I had on those little plastic gloves that they use in the restaurant as they prepare food, it's a different story. Now, there's a lot of folks that are probably here that before you offer a sacrifice to God, you need to wash your hands. You need to clean up. Well, I like to sing in choir. Can't do it. Dirty hands. I like to preach. Can't do it. Dirty hands. I like to be a part of the prayer teams. Can't do it. Dirty hands. We approach God like we're going to Kroger's. There's no reverence. There's no fear. I've heard this before. God stopped the angel in 2 Samuel from destroying Jerusalem, the holy city. When God looked down and saw the sacrifice in 1 Chronicles, David builds an altar and offers a sacrifice. It was the blood sacrifice that stopped God to stop that angel from killing like he was doing. And God told 70,000 men died in one day. David said in 1 Chronicles, he said, I will not offer an offering to God that doesn't cost me nothing. And a lot of times we offer to God and it really doesn't cost us anything. Or we come before the Lord. People say this, you know, Pastor, I pray all the time. It seems like my prayers just go up, hit the ceiling, and fall on the floor. And I'm not going to have you raise your hands. That's happened to me. And the first thing God reminded me of is your hands clean. And so I ask you, as people of Valley View who attend here on a regular basis, and by the way, you're not building this church for yourself. If you are, put a new name out on the sign. You're building this church for the kingdom of God. It's your responsibility to witness to the lost and to tell them about the Lamb of God. It's your responsibility to pray for the pastor. It's your responsibility to take some of these things off. Brother Paul was talking about today, all the things that Stanley does in the church, some of you folks are going to have to step up to the plate because he can't do it anymore. We take the workers for granted. Some of you will say this morning, well, I washed one hand. But I'm still going to hold on to this. God can use me. I went to my pastor and we had prayed about it for 2 years. I've really prayed about it. He's prayed about it. He doesn't have a problem with it. I'm 68 years old. I know I don't look it, but somebody give me an amen. God, these people are slow. And I said, you know, when you get my age, and I've served the Lord since I was 12, I started teaching Sunday school at 15, taught it till I was 25, got married. Well, actually, I got married when I was 20. Went into the service at 25. All these years I've served the Lord. The church would basically look at you and say, you've done your part. You can sit down. I don't want to sit down. When I go, I want to go running. I want to go serving the Lord full time. So I started to pray about it. Have any of you people ever heard of a pastor becoming a deacon? I got some news for you. There's nowhere in the Word of God that says you can't. I have a desire to take my 50-some years of experience and help a young pastor build a church which builds the kingdom of God for the glory of God. That's why I want to serve the Lord in that capacity. I mean, I already visit, I already tithe, I already check on the sick. I do basically what the pastor does. And I had a deacon say this to me. He says, if you become a deacon, that's a step down. True, this is the highest office in the church, but it ain't the only office. And so I want to serve the Lord in that capacity if God allows it. So they took it to the deacons last week, and the deacon said a few things, and he came to me and he said, Preacher, we got a green light. He's still young. He hadn't figured out doesn't have to listen to everything a deacon says. Some churches are deacon run. But David had a blood offering to God. And God, I want to do this, but Lord, is my hands clean enough to serve you in that capacity? God's allowing me to fill in at churches like this one as your pastor had an emergency or somebody needed him somewhere else. It was the blood sacrifice that David offered that stopped the angel from killing. God told David, don't do it. David did it anyway. He even prayed here in 2 Samuel. He said, Lord, what about these sheep? They haven't done anything wrong. Now, here's the way a lot of us pray it when we go to our prayer rooms. God, we've witnessed to them. We told them about Jesus, and we know the blood is there, and they know they need to get saved. But God, if they're not willing to get saved, let them die and go to hell. Mercy and grace saved you from your sin, and you didn't get saved, and the Sunday school teacher brought it out. You didn't get saved because you're a good person. The Bible says there's none righteous what? No, Not one. Boy, that leaves everybody out. If you're going to go to heaven, you got to go God's way. And God said in John 15 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. If you're going to get saved, you got to go through Jesus. And if you don't go through Jesus, who made the ultimate sacrifice, you're not going to go. You're going to bust hell wide open. You may not like it. Take it up with God when you go home. We water it down today because we're afraid we're going to offend somebody who gives a lot of money to the church. I got wonderful news for you. God was taking care of the church long before you and your money came along. He was taking care of the church before you were a twinkle in your father's eye, and he will always take care of the church. I am so tired of hearing pastors water it down. I had a female preacher some time back. Said, I heard you preaching. And I thought, boy, here. I've got three precious granddaughters in their 20s that live in Michigan. I love women in the sense that they're my friends. And make that clear. She said, you were preaching against women pastors. I said, because the Word of God says no. But we don't want to hear that today. Men won't step up to the plate, so women step up to the plate. That doesn't make it right. God says the bishop, the pastor, is the husband of one wife. I know we live in an age when women marry women and men marry men. God calls that an abomination. But in our society, it's okay. We don't want to get anybody upset. And I said, man, I believe in women preachers. Always have. I watched one of the best preachers you ever heard. She lets me have it about every evening. Says, still, honey, here it comes. But there's a difference between preaching and pastoring and feeding and taking care of the sheep and looking after the people of God. So here's my sacrifice, God, and God says no. If we confess our sins, and by the way, the last time I checked, now I'm a nut about it now. I gotta wash my hands all the time. I'll shake all these hands or a lot of your hands when you leave. And I got to wash my hands when I get home before I eat. It's not because I think you may have dirty hands. You probably do. But it's not that I think that. I don't want your germs. One of the things they told us in college said, make sure your fingernails are clean, your hands are clean, fresh breath, and clean shaving. Well, I forgot that part, but I think I got the rest of it covered. We live in a society today where we approach God. We come to this altar or at home, and we say, okay, Lord, I want to teach Sunday school. But I have a real problem giving up my cigarettes. Lord, I'd like to teach Sunday school, but I got a real problem with praying and reading your Bible like I should. And I've told you folks this. Many times I've spoke here. If I had to do it over again, I'd spend more time here and more time on my knees. And I've spent a lot of time. I wore out 8 Bibles so far. I gave them to my granddaughters and my great-niece and my niece last Thanksgiving. They were just in a drawer doing nothing, and they admired it and said, Grandpa, can we have that? And there's all kinds of notes in it. They're falling apart, but I wore them out and I put them away. So my granddaughter wants a Bible. Well, I've got 2 granddaughters, as far as I know, don't know the Lord, and they're in their 20s. And I've told my granddaughters, listen, Grandpa loves you, but Jesus loves you more. It's hard to serve God with dirty hands. And contrary to what Brother Mikey says, he wouldn't take a fresh peanut butter and jelly sandwich if my hands were dripping with filth. Yet we expect God to take our sacrifice. And nobody here today offered a blood sacrifice to God. You offered prayers, that's a sacrifice. You offered money, that's the kind of sacrifice we do today. And then over in Exodus, I want to show you what God did again. I want you to go there, Exodus chapter 12. Keep your dirty hands in mind. Chapter 12 and verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. Don't bring me those crippled sheep. Don't bring me those diseased lambs. He said, without blemish, a male of the first year, you'll take from the sheep or from the goats. And you'll keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. which was the 14th of April, Passover. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat. Down in verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token under your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, what's it say? I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. It was the blood on the doorpost that stopped the death angel from coming into the Israelites' homes. God told them what to do. Here's the plan. I'm going to slay every firstborn in Egypt. Cattle, sheep, men, firstborn of everything is going to die. History tells us there wasn't a house with the Egyptians that didn't have a death. You got to think of this. In those days, the firstborn was at the top. He got most of the inheritance. If it was a she, she didn't get nothing. That was society. But when I see the blood, I will pass over you. How we ought to praise God today that when God looks on us, when God looks at Bob Andrews at Calvary, 2,000 years ago, he looked down through time and he saw me as a little 12-year-old boy in a little country church on the side of a mountain in Northern Virginia. And he saw me come down the aisle and he saw me get on my knees. And all I said is, Lord, I believe, save me. You know what? He saved me. Remember what I said at the beginning? I put all my hopes on Jesus. And that's where they're still at. I like the song Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do any of you know the story of Amazing Grace? Who wrote it? Pastor ever talked to you, this sister knows. I want to say John Newton, but I'm correct. And he was a slave trader. He bought men and women and boys and girls in Africa. He brought them across the Atlantic and he sold them into slavery in the colony. But one night, God got a hold of John Newton. And John Newton was so aware of his sin that on that ship, he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Then he wrote one of the greatest hymns of all time, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do you understand that because God put the blood on the doorpost for you, the death angel goes by? You know what that means? You will never, ever have to suffer for one single sin if you're saved. Not one. Why? Because the blood covers your sin. It was the blood that stopped that angel from slaying and destroying Jerusalem, God's beloved city. It's the blood that God said, put it to the doorpost, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Don't give me this thing that you want to join the church. You want to get baptized. You want to get $10,000. I have people say this all the time. If I ever win the lottery, boy, I'm going to get to the church. I don't go home and say, God, let them win the lottery. I go home and say, God, convict them that that's gambling. A lot of times they gamble with God's money. Somebody the other day said, the next drawing on the lottery is worth $600 million. Yeah, I can't even count past my fingers. The chances of winning that is 309 million to one. Now, if you really want to give your money away, give it to this church or give it to me when you leave. You got about as much chance of getting something for it. You got a better chance of getting something for it. Dirty hands. You realize if every believer in the house of God washed their hands like they're supposed to, how God could use us? Now, God didn't say you were going to be perfect because he knew that when he saved you, you'd still have to live around sin in your life. He knows that. But we don't have to sin, but if we do sin, and we are going to sin, somebody say amen to that. If we confess, and don't get down and say, God, make him right, make her right. It's like the old Negro spiritual says, God, it's me, standing in the need of prayer. If you think you're pretty good for God, look out, you're about to fall. And I got some more news for you. As you grow in the Lord, you get better for God, and you give more glory and more praise to God. I know how your pastor feels, because I've been there and done that. That week after week, and I try to encourage him about 6 months ago. I said, Pastor Daniel, well, I call him Danny. You don't call him that. You call him Pastor or Brother Boone. I said, why don't you stop worrying about those that are not there and thank God for those who are there? My job is to preach to you this morning. My job's not to get you to this altar. That's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. My job's not to convert you. That's the Spirit's job. My job is to plainly tell you there's nobody in this entire universe like Jesus Christ. Nobody. We have a real problem in our church. Our church runs about 200, seats about 150, so you can figure out the problems we're having. It's a good problem. And one of the things we're having a problem with today is the young millennials. They don't go to church. If they do, they don't give anything. They don't want to be involved, or they want the more hip music. Every time I go to one of those services, says, Lord, thank you for saving me in 1962. Thank you for letting me grow up with the old-fashioned, old-time, blood-bought gospel. We have a difficult society today, but it doesn't mean we can't win them to the Lord. So God uses his death angel to stop. And it'll stop the judgment on you today. If you're truly born again and saved, think of this. And it does not mean you can go out here and live like hell, act like hell, and smell like hell. But if you're truly born again, not one time now or in eternity will you ever have to answer for that sin, ever. Why? Because God judged all sin at Calvary. He died for everybody at Calvary. The issue is, have we accepted what he's done at Calvary? And if you got him here and you ain't got him here, you're 18 inches away from hell. Doctor told me I had a brain. I tried to tell my wife that, she wouldn't believe me. I've had several heart attacks. People at Lighthouse and Rocky Mountain, you say, you ain't got no heart, preacher. One day over at the VA, they took a picture of my heart and I blowed it up and brought it back and said, you are lying. I got a heart. Might not be working too good, but it's mine. But it's not this organ that God saves. It's a spirit, that soul, that seeks after God today. And that's what we have to do. And then finally, if you go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, we're looking at how God uses the blood to stop it. It's all the blood. Not being the best you can do, not living a good life, the blood. Chapter 1, verse 18, for so much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested or made known in these last times to you. This was all planned before God put the first star and turned it on. God knew that man would fall. We have a free will. We can say yes or we can say no to God. Precious blood stops the righteous God from judging us because of what Jesus has already done for our sin by his blood. Not only for our benefit, but in our place. When I study scripture, I thank God every day I'm never going to have to suffer in hell. Not because I'm a good person, because I'm pretty rotten sometimes, but because of what Jesus did. When the eternal, everlasting God looks and sees Bob Andrews, the blood has been applied. He sees none of my sin. All my sin is under the blood. Do you know what David said? He takes our sin and puts them as far as the east is from west. Last time I checked, you can't measure that. You just either keep going west and you never get to east, or you go east and you never get to the west. You just keep going. He said this. He made it a little more simple. He said, I'll take your sins and I'll bury them in the deepest sea, never more to be remembered. If God has forgot your sin, why shouldn't you forget your sin? How many times do we kick ourselves? Oh, I wish that I could do this, and I wish I could do that. I had a neighbor yesterday. He is, a 38-year-old veteran, bought a house next to me, and he married a girl out of Vietnam. I met the young lady. As a matter of fact, where she was born and raised is the Providence that I fought in the late 60s. I could have killed her grandfather. I don't know. And she said she's a Buddhist. He's nothing. He don't claim nothing. Nice fellow, but he don't claim nothing. And I said, let me tell you about a God that's very much alive. He's not only not in the grave, he's living here inside me. And the Vietnamese girl looked at me like I was nuts. But I had a chance to tell her, Buddha ain't going to do her no good. Staying out of church ain't going to do you no good. You may think, hey, I've got all I needed for that 1 hour. I'm okay till the next week. The last time I checked, I like to make sure my gas tank is full all the time. I can't run from now till next Sunday to the next message that the pastor may preach. And when I think about the way that some of us treat the blood of Jesus Christ, we'll do this. And we treat the blood of Jesus Christ that way. Now hang on, here it comes. Because of the way we treat our pastor. We're going to meet tonight. I'm going to preach to you again if you're here. We're going to have some refreshments. Enjoy a time. I felt we're just going to have a good time. Matter of fact, if Daniel doesn't make it back, we're still going to have a good time because I'm going to be here. Thank you. How do you treat your pastor today? Well, he just doesn't communicate very good. Last time I talked to him, he communicates real good. The last time I checked with Daniel Boone, his yes is yes, his no is no, and there is no maybe in between. Well, he just doesn't understand me. Do you realize every time you attack the man of God, you attack the cause of Christ? Why don't you try praying for him? How many of you prayed this prayer? Lord, get him back safe in Jesus' name. Amen. There's no feeling. There's no time. There's no thought. Just get him back safe. Lord, let him preach a message today that they will hear. Maybe it should be, Lord, let him preach a message that I will hear. Change me, O Lord. Change me. So it's all the blood, whether you like it or not. God said, put your sword up in 1 Chronicles. It's enough. Because David built an altar and offered a sacrifice. The blood sacrifice stopped the angel in 1 Chronicles. 2 Samuel, we found out why. The blood sacrifice put the blood on the doorpost. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the blood of the Lamb of God that was shed at Calvary. God led Peter to write right there, the precious blood of Jesus. Foreordained before the foundation of the world. Well, if God knows who's going to get saved, why does he let people die and go to hell? You got the opportunity to say yes, and you got the opportunity to say no. Just as Adam and Eve had when God put them in the garden and said, you can have it all but one tree. Don't touch it, lest you die. Satan came along. Eve listened. Must have not have startled her too much because Satan came along as a serpent. And probably not the snake we talk about today. Historians say it was probably an upright creature, a beautiful creature. And she listened. Hath God said. Oh, God's not going to let you die and go to hell. That's just a preacher trying to scare you to get you to come to this church to get your money. Now, I know some pastors that will go on TV and try to get your money. I don't care about your money. Neither does your pastor. He cares about your everlasting soul. I didn't come over here to just kill some time. I came to preach the Word of God, and that's what I've done. And we look at the blood and we say, nope. And I've had churches tell me, you preach like that at my church, I'll never invite you. Well, I'll never be invited. The only story I know is Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, come on. They are weak, but he is strong. We like to think that's a child song. It's mine too. I'm glad that God saved me. I'm glad it's because of the blood. I'm glad that when God saw that blood, he stopped. And it repented him of what he was going to do. And when God destroys, he destroys. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? I don't care what they say. Slime pits blew up, volcanoes. God said he rained down fire and brimstone. And they can't even find a trace of that city that existed today. He totally destroyed it because of their sin. In closing, is my hands clean enough to serve God? No. But Father, I'm sorry. Oh God, forgive me for what I've thought today. Father, forgive me for being so unfaithful in your house. Father, you know, God wants you to wash your hands. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I thought he forgave it at Calvary. He did. But the last time I checked, when we sin, we have to go to God and say, we've sinned. We're still saved, but we have to confess it. If we don't, we don't lose our salvation. We lose our rewards and our opportunities to serve God here. Rewards to lay at the feet of Jesus later on. Heads about. Blood sacrifices. Nothing but the blood. We have them in our hymn books. You folks, some of you have sang them a million times. And it is the blood. And it's by Christ and Christ